Philippians, and and I want to just talk to you about life-changing prayer. I'll be in Genesis, and I was a little careful about this title. I called it life-changing prayer, but there's a lot of sermons I could preach on life-changing prayer, and this is just one little aspect of it. Life-changing prayer. I got 9 points, but really two of them at the end are the ones I want to focus on. Genesis 32 is where I'll be, and Genesis chapter 32. Life-changing prayer. Genesis 32 and verse 1. And it says, "And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, 'This is God's host.' And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau's brother into the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, 'Thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob said, Thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight.' And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, 'We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee with 400 men with him.' And Jacob was greatly afraid of it and distressed. And he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels, and into two bands, and said, 'If Esau come into one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape.' And Jacob said, 'O God of my father Abraham, and the God of my father Isaac, and the Lord which saidest unto me, Return unto thy country, unto thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies, and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I have passed over this Jordan, now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, and from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with my children. And thou saidest, I will surely do to thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.'" All right, that's the first passage. Let's pray and we'll talk about life-changing prayer. Lord, the word of God is wonderful, Lord. This entire chapter of Genesis 32 is great and practical. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. I pray that every person would get what they need. Someone who has doubts about the word of God, I pray that they would get what they need tonight. Lord, the people who are not struggling, I pray they'd get something they need tonight, Father. And people who are in complete victory, every one of us, Father, may your spirit speak to us. Lord, this prayer thing's under attack. You know, Lord, if we don't pray, we're goners as a people, as a nation, as a church, as individuals. And you know there's nothing fought harder than prayer, Lord. So we need you to help us tonight to see the importance and see what it does. And Lord, sometimes maybe what it does in us is not necessarily what we want done, but I pray tonight that you would overcome that with a passion for prayer and help us to be pushed to pray and walk with you. And we pray for your help in this, Lord, and for your wisdom and for a new way to see what prayer does. And may your spirit speak now in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, the Lord begins to draw us in preparation of a work in our lives. The Lord begins to draw us near in a preparation for a work in our lives. Jacob is traveling here, and he's leaving Laban, his father-in-law, and he's going back to where he came from. And on the way, he's got to go past his brother, who he has basically ripped off for his whole life, taken everything from and mistreated his brother. And he's worried about meeting his brother. And on the way, he runs across a bunch of angels, and he's camped, and the angels are camped on the other side. And he calls the place Mahanaim, which means twin camps. So I'm here, and the angels are there, and they met him in verse 1 and 2. The angels of God met him. And so already he didn't know what all's coming. Just suddenly the Lord's there, his angels are there, and God's working in him. God's doing a process in him. He's preparing him. And God works and draws and reveals himself to us when it's time for him to do a work. Many is a person who doesn't understand where all of a sudden they get a Christian neighbor, and suddenly they get an invitation for church, and now they start thinking about spiritual things, and all of a sudden their Bible pops up from underneath a pile of books, and all of a sudden a bunch of things happen. And what's happening is God says, I'm meeting you because I'm preparing to do a work. I'm preparing to move in your life. These aren't by accidents you started having these thoughts. These aren't by accidents. God is drawing near because he's beginning to do a work in your life to take you where you've needed to go. Number two, we come to the point where something has to happen. He's going to meet his brother. So he basically sends out a bunch of gifts, and he sends out a bunch of things towards Esau and says, listen, I got to meet the guy. I got to run across him. Maybe if I send enough gifts and enough things to him, when he by the time he gets past his gifts, he won't be mad at me anymore. And he'll come nicely to me and tell him that I have wives and kids. And so verse 3, Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau's brother into the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob said, thus, I've gained all these things and all these things. Well, he just kind of is sending them ahead and getting feelers. And they return and said, Jacob's coming. He's got 400 soldiers with him. Well, this is Jacob who he sold his birthright from. This is Jacob who he had cheated out of his blessing. This is Esau, and Esau was mad at him, and Jacob's mom said, you better leave the country because your brother's going to kill you. And so he left the country for all these decades, and now he's coming back, and now he hears his brother's coming toward him with a bunch of soldiers. I think sometimes if God would just answer us directly, we would say, God, why? Why this now? And God would say, here's why. It's exactly what you need. But this is not what Jacob wanted. He did not want Esau to be coming with soldiers. So now he's going to have to pray. Now something's got to happen. He's got to do something. It's a strange thing. The devil makes us avoid dealing with our issues and dealing with God. We kind of dodge this and dodge that and duck this and dodge that. And so God just kind of got to come directly and just kind of ram us right in the chest and say, hey, I need your attention. I'm what matters. We got to deal with some things. You've avoided it. You've medicated it. You've dodged it. You've turned off your phone. You've done everything. It's time to fix this thing. Now, this thing, that can happen in 1,000 different areas. And I came and illustrate all the areas that, of course, you've seen this happening. Somebody is abusing their body with bad things. And suddenly the doctor says, you continue to do this, you will die very soon. And then all of a sudden they say, okay. Sometimes it's big problems coming to life. Sometimes it's a layoff. Sometimes it's a marriage problem. Sometimes a child problem. Sometimes it's a health problem. Sometimes it's just I can't take this anymore. And whatever happens, something has to happen at this time. Sometimes we finally have to face up to something. Sometimes you're in great danger. Jacob had to face up to something at this point. Sometimes you're where only the Lord can help you. Sometimes you're desperate with a burden. Sometimes you cannot go on with who you are or the way things are going anymore. Sometimes you cannot go on with who you are or the way things are going any longer. Sometimes you're really scared. But there comes a point where God says, it's time. You've avoided, you've been out of country, you've dodged this, but now here it is, and you've got to deal with this thing. It's time to do some business, time to get serious, time to fix things, time to be changed. There's something that's not right there. So number two, we come to the point where something has to happen. Number three, we should come humbly. What does he do? He prays, and in this prayer, he prays very humbly. Verse 7, and Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, the flocks and the herds and the camels and the two bands. And verse 9, he prays, and Jacob said, O my God, of my father Abraham, the God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all thy truth, which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Now, don't you get this? Jacob, the supplanter, the sneaky one, his whole life, been able to manipulate everything his whole life. get out of everything, get what he wanted out of anybody, his father-in-law, his brother. He always seemed to be able to deal with everything and always had a reason to do it. Now, he has to be honest because he's talking to God. He says, God, I'm not worthy of everything you've done for me. I'm not worthy for you to bail me out of this mess. Already, just to get to that point in your life where you say, is worth whatever thing God sent your way. Do you know how many people will not deal with things? Do you know how many people will not admit their part in anything, in a process? And say, you know what? I don't really deserve this. I learned a statement a long, long time ago that's helped me my whole life. I think about it all the time. It really blesses me. It helps me. And it sounds like something that wouldn't bless you and help you. But it makes me so content. I'm a very content person. I'm very happy with what I have in life and where I am in life and who I am in life and where I'm going in life and what I have and what I've attained. You know, a statement is this. The only thing I deserve is hell. I'm on extra ball my whole life. I'm on bonus time. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And when you come and you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, you throw out the victim of excuses. You throw out what they did to me and what I did, and you just say, you know what? Yeah, they might have done this, but you know what, Lord? I messed up and I am not worthy. See, somebody once said, why do bad things happen on earth? I would say, why do good things happen on earth? This world, it goes against God. God, if I were God, I would have already destroyed me, let alone a whole bunch of people, let alone the whole world, for all the stupidity that goes on, all the sin and foolishness. It's of his mercies we are not consumed. He came humbly. We're all just sinners saved by grace. We're all just this bunch of dirt with life breathed into it, and are alive because of God's goodness, and we're borrowing the air he gave us. And you know what? We don't deserve to be blessed like we think we do. I've messed up enough in a day plenty of times to make it, God should never bless me again. God should just put me in the frying pan and be done with me. He came humbly. Lord, I messed up. Lord, I'm not worthy of you to bless me. Humble yourself. The word humble means push down, by the way. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. When you come to the Lord and just say, Lord, I blew it, I messed up, you'd be amazed how much grace and help there is for that person. And for the person who says, it's not my fault, I didn't do anything, I deserve better than this. God just says, hey, angels, did I hear something? I think I hear the planets turning. I don't hear anything down there for sure. Because he ain't listening. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. But you know what's a strange thing? You ever get to that point where all of a sudden you're kind of high and mighty and all of a sudden you fall flat on your face and every single thing you've done wrong or failure comes back to your mind and says, oh yeah, I forgot about me for a moment there. And he says, okay, Lord, I don't deserve this. I've been cheating and I've been not all I should be. He's just honest and he came humbly. Next, tell the Lord what you have done to try to fix a situation. Tell the Lord what you have done to try to fix a situation. And he does this in a lot of ways. He tries, Jacob has all these plans. He tries three different plans to try to get Esau not to kill him. And he sends people ahead to tell them, hey, Jacob's coming and he's got all these things. And then he's greatly afraid. Then he splits his family into two parts and says, okay, you wife go this way and you wife go this way. Take all your kids. They kill one of the groups of you. The other one escape. And he's tried that. And then he says, God, I'm not worthy of the least thy mercies of all the truth that thou hast shown in thy servant. He says, for with my staff I pass over this Jordan. Now I am become two bands. We're splitting up. He says, I try to split him up in verse 8. He says, you know what, I'm trying to figure out a way out of this. He's, and then verse 13, and he lodged there the same night. He explains me. He explains, and he does tries everything he have. Then now he says, verse 11, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother and from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he would come and smite me and my mother and my children. Verse 10, I am not worthy to lease thy mercies. And he says, for with my staff I pass through this Jordan, I become two bands. Now listen, I just want, this point's not long, but I want to say this. He kind of says, God, I've tried this, and I've tried this, and I'm trying to work this out. And I think that's significant because he's going to try something else after he prays too. And none of these plans are bad or anything. I do think it's not a Bible verse, certainly, but God helps those who help themselves. I think before we ask for a miracle, we got to try to do things that are in the natural. I can't pay my bills. Where's your budget? What's your budget say? Well, I don't have. Well, let's figure it out. And can you work any more hours? We'll pray for this miracle, but can you work more hours? Can you spend less money? Can you save money on this? Can you sell this? Can you do this? I think it's significant that he said, Lord, I've tried to do what I can here. I split into two bands. We're split up, and my plan doesn't, I don't know if it's going to work. And Lord, I'm trying this, but I don't know what to do. And I do think you ought to do what you can do before you ask for a miracle. And he did what he could. He gives in a big, long plan all the way through there. He gives what to say to Esau. He sends a bunch of gifts ahead, says, here's what you say to Esau. And give him all these gifts and tell him you're my wife and do all this stuff, and maybe he won't kill us. And he tries all these things. Next. Things really happen when we get alone with God. And this is, we're going to just, the rest of the message, we're going to really want to get to. He sends his family over in verse 21, 22, 23, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. And they wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now, this wasn't a normal man. This man touched Jacob's thigh, and Jacob's thigh went out of joint. Jacob later says, I've seen God. Verse 30, and Jacob called up the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Jesus came down and said, we're going to show people what prayer is like because you wrestle with God in prayer. And so you're going to wrestle with me for this night. And Jacob was left alone, and he wrestles with God. And what a great illustration of prayer the wrestling with God is. And they wrestle. And they wrestle all night long. Jacob is left alone. And he wrestles with God. He goes, he battles, he does this thing. An amazing thing happened. As he's alone with God, he eventually gets what he needs. Great things happen when you get alone with God. Matthew 6:6, it says, and when ye pray, enter into thy closet and shut the door. And pray to thy Father in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Alone. Now, we prayed a little while ago in church. Awesome. That's good. That's biblical. Acts. They did that in the book of Acts. It's fine. Pray together. But you need to have prayer time alone with God every day. And it will be the hardest thing you will do in your life. The second hardest thing you'll do is read your Bible every day. Third hardest thing, until you get it down, you can get this one down where it's not hard anymore, is going to church. You're going to be in a war to pray. It is the hardest thing. Every Christian I know who's gotten the disciplines of the Christian life, reading the Bible every day, praying every day, going to church every day, all of them I know say praying is the hardest one to do. It is a war not to pray. You will always find a reason not to pray. You will always find a reason, something else to do. You will find you'll want to pray, you'll love praying, but to get alone and spend that time with God is brutally hard, and you will find 1,000 reasons not to. 1,000 reasons. But he was left alone. See, what happened? All right, you guys go this way, you guys go this way. They cross across a brook, and Jacob looks around and says, okay, everybody send ahead to go meet Esau, and, well, who's that? And there's God. And you, God will many times, when he's ready to work in your life, he will isolate you and move people away from you and get you where nobody else understands and nobody else can quite help you with your situation. Because why? He's trying to get you to come to him. Because what you really need is him. If it's a financial problem, I'm telling you, money won't fix it. If it's an emotional problem, the people won't fix it. If it's a problem in life, you'll find out that God's going to put you where nobody is able to help you. And whatever solution you think is going to help you, really when you get it, it didn't solve the problem. Because really what we long after and what we need is the Lord. And so he isolates us. One of the things he did in chapter 32, we skipped over it briefly. I want to say he claims a prayer promise in his prayer. And this is a prayer that really prevails. Verse 9, and Jacob said, O God of my father, Abraham, Isaac, the father of, my, father of Isaac, and the Lord has said unto me, return to thy country and thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. He says, you said you would do this for me, Lord. Verse 12, and thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea. Great prayers claim prayer promises. What prayer promises can you claim? I just wrote a couple down you can use. I'll just read Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. Just claims and promises. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. If ye then being evil know to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father give good things to them that ask him? That's Matthew 7 and some of the verses in 7 through 11. 1 John chapter 5, a good prayer promise is 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him. Listen, there's many places that, like, you'll hear an ad on the radio, and they'll say, use this word, and they'll give you the discount. Or many stores where you have to ask for them to give you a certain discount or a certain kind of deal. God makes promises, but he's not obligated to keep those promises unless you claim them. And you'll find good prayers in the Bible bringing up, God, you promised this. You need your provision, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. You need victory, I can do all things through Christ your strength. Lord, you said this, and Jacob does that. And now he's alone, now he's claimed his promises, and now, back in Genesis chapter 32, is the biggest point of the whole message is this. The greatest miracle is what happens to us. That's the whole message right there. The greatest miracle is what happens to us. He's wrestling, and neither one can win. God could have won in any second, but he's wanting Jacob to do his best and to battle with him and wrestle with him to get the answer and to find the solution in God, not in gifts to Esau. And finally, Jesus gets up to leave, and he grabs a hold of him and said, I will not let thee go unless thou bless me. And finally, Jacob was changed from being this weaselly, sneaky guy to this person who prevailed. And he says, what's your name? And he said, Jacob. He said, you're no longer Jacob, which means supplanter. Your name is now Israel, which means a prince with God. It's beautiful the way God says this. For as a prince, verse 28, thou hast thou power with God and with men and hast prevailed. Wow. Everything that's going to happen after this is all bonus, because really the greatest thing that happened to Jacob was not that Esau didn't kill him. The greatest thing that happened to Jacob is Jacob became a new man. He became a prince with God. Prayer is wonderful. It gets answers. God works in it, but the greatest thing about prayer is it changes the prayer. It's the biggest thing about prayer. Jacob was left alone, wrestled with God, and he was transformed into this prince with God. I never find somebody who really gets alone and spends time with God who doesn't start having their life transformed in complete ways. Listen, when Moses was face to face with God, he walked down on the mountain, didn't even know he was glowing from the presence of God, because he was transformed from being near God. There's something about praying and walking with God where you are transformed, and that transformation is usually the answer to fix what you're praying about. Sometimes I'll have someone come to me and their life is just kind of scattered and messes and they're just what can I do to overcome this? And what can I do to overcome this? And I'm kind of struggling with this. And I'm very good at this. And my emotions like this. And I look and I say, you know, there's too many fires to put out here. How's your prayer life? I really can't find time to pray. I can't discipline myself to pray. So you know what? Do me a favor. For 1 week, give a half hour in prayer every day. And this talking a week. Did you know fires start getting put out who have nothing to do with their prayer life, apparently? What does that have to do with the way people treat me at work? I don't know. What does that have to do with my pain in my foot? I don't know. What does that have to do with my disrespectful kid? Don't really know. And what does that have to do with the knock on my engine in my car? I don't know. And what does that have to do with me not being able to control my temper? I'm not sure. But you know what? Why don't you just pray and spend some real time with God for a while? And all of a sudden they say, you know what? Still got the knock on my engine, but you know, I haven't lost my temper for a week. And for whatever reason, the guy at work just quit messing with me. And this and this and this happened. You know, the problem was you need to be with God. Because it changes you. And it changes me. It changes what we are. It's so funny. Look at chapter 33. This guy has been so afraid and sends his wife and kids and gifts and servants ahead. You guys meet him first. Chapter 33, verse 3. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times and came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him, embarrassed, embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Listen, Jacob said, forget the gifts, forget everything else. I'm running up ahead. Why? Because he's a new man. He's a new man. Prayer changed Jacob to Israel. And the nation is still named after him today. If you would spend time with God, if you would say, you know what? And I just got to the point where I understand it. You will have to kick something out of the way and schedule a time and not back out of it, even if your clothes are on fire, to pray. I mean, every reason, every excuse, everything in the world, everything else to do, everything's going to interrupt you to pray. And when you pray, your mind's going to wander and you're going to forget you're praying. Unless you pray out loud. David Gibbs recently, I heard him say, I've never known anybody with a prayer life of any significance who doesn't have a prayer list. I don't think we have the attention span to pray silently now. I think our minds wander too much. And until you find that time and that place alone, enter into your closet, shut the door, whether it's in the forest, whether it's in your bedroom, whether it's wherever it is, whether it's in the shower, wherever you go, and you get alone with God, unless you force that time, absolutely nothing interrupted. I've got to pray. I've got to walk with God. And say, nothing's more important than my walk with God. Until you war to pray and find that prayer time, you don't have it. And you don't have it. Because it transforms you. And last of all, this is the funny thing about it. As an afterthought, the Lord works the problems out. As an afterthought, the Lord works the problems out. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifts up his eyes and says, what are all these wonderful things? These are my family God's given me, and everything's just fine. And Jacob says, let me give you all these gifts. And what does Esau say? No, I got enough. It's fine. Well, that worked out pretty good. See, God's sitting there going, I'm trying to get you to me. And we're going, oh no, look at this over here. And God says, yeah, I know. Come to me. I'm just sending that to get you to me. Come on, snuggle up. Come on, let's get close. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. That's better. Oh, good. I know you're worried. It's okay. Let me give you some peace. Let me give you some rest. That's good. Now you're praying. Now you're walking to me. Oh, that problem. Boink. Okay, done. Now let's go back to being close. And you know what you say after you're close to God and have the peace of God that indwells you and the rest of God in your life after you've been praying? You know what you say? After God goes, boink, you say, what was I so worried about? Why was that thing so important? Why? Because you've been transformed by walking with God. The greatest thing about being about being alone with the Lord in prevailing prayer is what it does to us. And a lot of times we get in these situations where God just saying, come on, come to me. Jacob's greatest thing was God said, go back to your homeland. And he says, I got to pass by Esau. Then he says, what am I going to do? He's going to kill me. Ah! And he ends up alone with God. And God says, now you're going to be different. I got you alone. Turn off your dumb phone. Turn off the dumb internet. Turn off the dumb TV. Snuggle up with me for a while. Spend some time with me. And let's get close. And instead of panicking and trying to Prozac your way out of all the troubles and worries and trying to win the lottery so you were all these problems to go away. You ain't going to take your problems away. And being so stressed about all these things, how about just calm down? You say, but this has nothing to do with my prayer life. It has everything to do with it. God's trying to get you to pray. He's just trying to change you. He's trying to change me. But it's hard to pray, isn't it? Even with those who have time in their hands, it's hard to pray. Those who don't have time in their hands, it's hard to pray. Those who are married, it's hard to pray. Those who are single, it's hard to pray. The devil fights like nothing else because it's going to change you. Being in the presence of God makes you different. And when you just get in the presence of God, whatever they got to face, whatever you got to battle, Jacob became the person who could run ahead to Esau in the process of wrestling with God. And if you'll just spend time with God, and we'll just spend time and prioritize that prayer and shut the door, your Father will reward you openly. And all the things you thought were so big, actually the biggest thing you had to worry about was you're not praying. That's the biggest thing you had to worry about. Everything else was just a symptom. Or put there to draw you to prayer so God can change you in his presence. Everything else just happens. And all the little problems, they're all gone. Your biggest problem is that you've been attacked by Satan not to pray. Because he's going to change you. It's about for prayer. Lord, I